Welcome back to the Florida History Podcast. I'm Carter Krishnire. As promised with this Florida History Podcast, we have a new audio setup and a new production board. So this is our first podcast being recorded with the new setup. Hopefully the sound quality is sufficient. Hopefully it's better than what it has been in the past and production levels have improved. We previously talked about the Reconstruction era in the state of Florida and how tumultuous it was. But today I want to focus on Josiah Walls, who was our first black congressman from the state of Florida, first African American member. In April 1865, when General Lee surrendered to General Grant at Appomattox, and Governor Milton, who we've talked about previously on this podcast, committed suicide. Allegedly, it's possible. Talked about this on a previous podcast. Robert Bucciolato, my co-host, has mentioned there were theories in Jackson County that the gun went off wrongly and he didn't mean to commit suicide. In any event, April 1st, 1865, he was dead. Governor, of course, had said that death was preferable to reunion with the odious nature of the Yankee, or something along those lines. I'm paraphrasing. So Abraham Allison became the governor in April 1865, and Florida's population was almost half African American. Allison, as we have talked about on a previous podcast, lasted about 50 days as governor. He fled as Union troops stormed into Tallahassee. He fled the capital and was replaced by William Marvin, who had been a judge in Florida, but was loyal to the Union, had been loyal to the Union. Florida's legislature, as we've talked about before, in 1865 passed the Black Codes, which severely curtailed the rights of former slaves, of the freedmen, to do anything, including voting, right? To do anything, to acquire property, etc., or certain types of property. Black Codes were effectively reigniting slavery, even if they were not giving the slaves back to the plantation owner directly, but they made it impossible for freedmen to make a living. Obviously, this didn't sit well with the radical Republicans in Congress. They really stuck it to Florida after that. By April the 1st of 1867, 2 years after the suicide or death of Governor Milton, whichever it is, Florida was under military rule. With the military rule and the radical Reconstruction, 1868 rolls around, Republicans have control of the state. We've talked a little bit in the past about Harrison Reed and that period and that governorship and the time when Florida had two governors, but we're not going to rehash that. You can go back and check out that episode of the Florida History Podcast. But again, today we don't want to talk about that. You can go back and refer to previous podcasts on that period, the controversy of two governors, and all of the podcasts we've done on Reconstruction and the Civil War. Today we want to focus on Florida's first African American congressman, Josiah Walls, and he has quite a story, quite a history, and a history of contested elections also. That's what Reconstruction Florida was like, and Reconstruction South was like. Josiah Walls was the first African-American House member from the state of Florida, and we wouldn't elect another African-American to the U.S. Congress after him until 1992. Think about that for a minute. In 1992, we elected Corinne Brown, Elsie Hastings, and Carrie Meek. In 1862, Walls had been captured. He had been forced to serve. He was from Virginia. Winchester, Virginia is where he was born. Had been forced to serve without pay in the Confederate Army as a slave. He was captured by the Union Army in 1862 at Yorktown, Virginia, and he volunteered for the United States Colored Troops soon thereafter, and rose all the way to the rank of corporal. He was discharged at the end of the war in Florida, settling in Alachua County. He took a job in a sawmill and then as a teacher with the Freedmen's Bureau, which had set up shop all over Florida during Reconstruction, during military rule. And in 1868, he purchased a 60-acre farm in Alachua County. He also was elected to the state senate later that year in a special election to succeed Horatio Jenkins, who had been appointed to a county judgeship. Wall served in the state senate representing Alachua and Levy counties during the 1869 and 1870 sessions. In 1870, Walls was nominated by the Republican Party to be their candidate for the at-large seat. Florida was very sparsely populated at the time, as we've talked about. So Florida had one congressional district. It was an at-large seat statewide. Walls is the Republican nominee. Walls wins the nomination over Robert Meacham. Meacham was also a freedman. He was born as a slave in Quincy in 1835 and was a Floridian, native Floridian, born in Quincy, as I mentioned, in Gadsden County. He purchased his freedom and was a freedman that had been very influential in Florida politics in the Reconstruction era and was considered more moderate than Walls. Walls was considered very much a radical Republican. Thaddeus Stevens, the leader of the Radical Republicans, had recently passed away, but there were still a lot of radical influence. When we say radical Republicans, let me walk this back for a minute. The radical Republicans would be in this era. Again, I don't like comparing historical eras in terms of ideology because so much changes. But if you were looking at an ideological spectrum, they would be seen as leftists, right? They'd be like the squad is today in the U.S. Congress, except they were much more numerous than the squad. And obviously, we had no female members of Congress then. Everybody was a male. The leader, the known leader of the Radical Republicans, people who were associated with the Radical Republican faction were John C. Fremont, who had been the first Republican nominee for president in 1856, actually was from Savannah originally, but was a big anti-slavery person in California, first governor of California, I believe the first governor of California after they became a territory and eventually a state. Thaddeus Stevens, the congressman from Pennsylvania I mentioned. Another prominent radical Republican would be Schuyler Colfax from Indiana, who was the Speaker of the House and then became Speaker of the House during the end of the Lincoln administration and during Andrew Johnson's administration, became the running mate for Ulysses S. Grant and was the Vice President of the United States by the time where the time we're talking about 1870. Other radical Republicans would have included Horace Greeley, who was the editor of the New York Tribune, which was a radical newspaper. However, Greeley would fall out spectacularly with the Grant administration and would actually create a coalition between liberal Republicans and Democrats, even though most Democrats were very conservative at the time, but an anti-Grant coalition to contest the 1872 presidential election. Edwin Stanton was a radical Republican. So you have a couple of factions within the Republican Party, but one is the radical faction, which is pushing for, had pushed for African-American emancipation, or emancipation of slaves, then voting rights and citizenship for African-Americans. And now, through the Freedmen's Bureau, is pushing to uplift African-Americans in the South. They are in favor of military reconstruction, so-called radical reconstruction, which was the reconstruction pushed by the Congress. President Andrew Johnson, as I'm sure many of you know, had initially, after the assassination of Lincoln, had indicated he might go along with radical Reconstruction, and a few months in, sharply changes his views, becomes very lenient towards the South. And Johnson himself was a Southerner, remember, and was put on the Republican ticket in 1864 as sort of a national unity ticket. Hamlin, the first vice president under Lincoln, was a radical Republican, was a very, very kind of left-wing Republican, Hannibal Hamlin. And he gets dumped from the ticket in favor of Andrew Johnson. And I should mention John C. Fremont, who I'd mentioned earlier, who had actually, as general in the Civil War, emancipated the slaves in Missouri against the directives coming from the Lincoln administration early in the war in 1861. Up until about, I would say, the capture of Atlanta in the fall of 1864, was contemplating running as a left-wing kind of radical Republican candidate. And that probably would have cost Lincoln the election. The Democrat, George McClellan, the General George McClellan, who had been fired by Lincoln, but had been the commanding general of the Army of the Potomac, he was the Democratic nominee. The Democratic Party in 1864 were full of kind of racists and people who wanted to make peace with the South, and they would have pushed that. McClellan himself probably did not want to make peace with the South. This is a historical misconception. I think McClellan, if he had won, probably tries to continue to prosecute the war, but his party would not have supported that. So anyway, long story short here, Gibbs is the candidate of the radical Republicans. His opponent is effectively the candidate of the mainstream Republicans, the people who are trying to go a little softer with Reconstruction, aren't as into the Freedmen's Bureau and radical Reconstruction and the concept of black empowerment and black suffrage, right? I mean, I think they're all, by that time, obviously 14th Amendment, 15th Amendment, they're all into the idea of African-American suffrage. I shouldn't say that. But African-American leadership and a radical Reconstruction of the South. There were some divisions within the Republican Party on that. So let's get back to this specific election. Walls was elected on the 11th ballot of this Republican convention, was able to hold off the faction of white carpetbaggers that had come from the North that were supporting Meacham. Walls won a very close election against Silas Niblock, the Democratic nominee, 51-49, or 51.3% to 48.7%. Remember that name, Niblock. We're going to be hearing his name once again. So Walls is now in the Congress, 42nd Congress. Walls, once in office, introduced bills to establish a national education fund and aid pensioners and Seminole War veterans. Now, Niblock filed a contest to the election, claiming that Walls had won because of irregularities. The House Committee on Elections unseats Walls at this point. So, Walls had been in Congress throughout 1871 and through most of 1872 when this happens. He's unseated. Niblock gets the at-large seat for Florida. And Walls, as I said, had introduced bills on a national education fund and to aid pensioners and Seminole War veterans, which actually, in fact, helped a lot of white Floridians. But as those of you who follow Florida politics know, years that end in twos are redistricting years. And guess what? Florida had had enough population growth to pick up a second congressional seat. So Walls ran in the new second congressional district and won. Niblock was defeated, and Walls served alongside another Republican, William J. Perman, in this Congress. Perman was another carpetbagger. He had come from Pennsylvania was a Union Army veteran, was transferred by the War Department to Tallahassee in 1865 after the Union troops moved into Tallahassee, had been in the state Senate. He was almost assassinated, by the way, in 1868. That's a story for another podcast. But he was in Congress now for from the 1st District, Walls from the 2nd District. Walls got to serve in that Congress, and then he won by a narrow margin in 1874. But again, he faced a challenge. The Democrat he defeated was Jesse J. Finley, who had been a former Confederate colonel and a brigadier general in this Confederate Army. Finley was given the seat by the Democratic-controlled House. The Democrats had captured the House. There was a lot of discontent with Ulysses Grant. Following being stripped of his seat in Congress, ran for his old state Senate seat and served a four-year term. He lost re-election in 1880. Was admitted to the Alachua County Bar in April 1873. He passed the bar exam and served as mayor of Gainesville in that period, but resigned September 1873. In 1874, Walls formed a law partnership with Henry S. Harmon, who had been the first African-American admitted to the bar in Florida, and they moved their legal practice to Tallahassee. After this, Walls would operate a farm in Alachua County, Lee Politics. African-Americans were being disenfranchised. There was violence. If African-Americans sought office or tried to vote after 1876 when the military, early 1877, when the military withdrew from Florida as part of the bargain to get Rutherford B. Hayes elected president, the deal between the Republicans and the Southerners. He taught for a little bit at Florida A&M and passed away in 1905. In Tallahassee. Should mention he actually had a successful farm, as I mentioned, in Alachua County. They got wiped out in the freeze of 1894 and 1895, which we did a podcast on very recently. So he goes and teaches at Florida A&M, or what was then called the State Normal and Industrial College for colored students. And he passed away May 5th, 1905 in Tallahassee. At this point, Florida is deep in the throes of Jim Crow, of racism, of racial violence. Florida had the most per capita lynchings in the United States between 1877 and 1950. Walls, the first African-American congressman from Florida, passes away, and not a single newspaper in the state runs an obituary. That's what had happened by 1905. Very sad times. Anyway, thank you once again for listening to the Florida History Podcast. We'll be back with you next week.